Good morning, this is the California Report. I'm Cy Musiker, in for Rachel Miro. Some hard facts today for Senator Barbara Boxer as she prepares for a re-election campaign. A new field poll finds she's in a statistical tie with two Republicans out to replace her, former Congressman Tom Campbell and former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina. Boxer leads the third GOP candidate, Assemblyman Chuck DeVore, by 4 points. Campbell is running ahead of his rivals among likely Republican voters. Union members at NUMMI have approved a proposed severance package. NUMMI's the former GM Toyota plant in Fremont, scheduled for shutdown by the Japanese automaker. The severance plan provides about $278 million in payoffs and benefits. It won approval from 90% of the members of United Auto Workers Local 2244. Here's UAW local president Sergio Santos.
The amount of money will never replace the jobs that Toyota's taken out of the factory. It has no price tag on the families that'll impact.
The plant closes on April 1st and could cost tens of thousands of other jobs at suppliers and businesses who work with NUMMI. A new report from Consumers Union accuses the state's public health agency of failing to carry out laws aimed at reducing medical errors and infections in California hospitals. Consumers Union says that among other failures, the agency has not yet disclosed which hospitals are complying with federal guidelines to prevent surgery-related infections. Betty Imholtz of Consumers Union says that disclosure is crucial for improving hospital performance.
Of the major approaches to improving patient safety, the most promising is public reporting of performance information. It gives feedback to providers, and it just gives the incentive to learn and to look better.
Every year, nearly 250,000 Californians develop infections during hospital stays. A spokesman for the Department of Public Health was unable to comment before our deadline. New legislation in California would boost the supply of organs available for donation. It would require drivers to choose whether they wish to be an organ donor or not. But that change got reporter Sarah Varney wondering why the DMV is the gatekeeper for organ donors in the first place.
It's an odd place to ponder your mortality, standing in line under the fluorescent lights waiting for your number to be called. But somehow it seems oddly fitting, too. It's the only place in California where nearly everyone passes through, rich and poor, young and old, Republicans and Democrats. What better place, then, to contemplate our shared fate? Registering to become an organ donor at the DMV is an accident of history, or rather the history of accidents, says Art Kaplan, a bioethicist at the University of Pennsylvania.
Back in the late 60s, you obtained organs for transplant, say a heart or a liver, from people who were in motor vehicle accidents. So it made some sense at that time to say, well, let's ask people when they get to motor vehicles if they'd want to be organ donors.
Kaplan says by the early 1970s, most states had adopted programs.
Back in the early days, motorcycles around medical centers were referred to as donor cycles. That's how common it was to have somebody with a fatal head injury wind up being an organ donor.
Thankfully, motor vehicles are far safer now. But organ donation is a numbers game. And though it sounds macabre, it takes a lot of deaths to get just one organ donor.
Less than 1 in 100 deaths actually qualifies to be an organ donor at the time of death because of the special circumstances.
Those circumstances, says Brian Stewart, president of the donor registry Donate Life California, involve finding a person who is pronounced brain dead and has healthy enough organs to benefit someone in need. And by one measure, the DMV system is remarkably successful. 98% of registered donors in California come from the DMV. The rest come from the online donor registry. But on the measure that matters the most, the percentage of Californians signed up as donors, California's performance is dismal. About 1 in 4 residents have registered, among the lowest rates in the nation. That's led some to wonder if primary care physicians should play a bigger role in organ donation. After all, DMV clerks don't have the time or the training to discuss such a profound decision.
Knock, knock.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Dr. Kepler. How are you?
Good. Great.
I decided to ask my own primary care physician what he thought of the idea. Robert Dobro has a small practice in San Francisco. He says physicians are being urged to talk about organ donation.
It's becoming a what we call quality indicator. The federal government, Medicare, insurers, They look at doctors' performances and to determine how well a doctor's doing and ultimately how much a doctor will get paid. And one of these pay-for-performance parameters is having discussed end-of-life care issues with patients and having advanced directives on file.
He pulls out a simple-looking four-page form, a health care directive that he can give to patients and keep in their medical record. The directive spells out whether a patient wants to be on a respirator, prefers to be resuscitated or not, and if the patient wants to be an organ donor. But Dr. Dobro says discussing end-of-life issues is yet one more thing primary care doctors are expected to do in their limited time with patients. And he finds the patients he does manage to give the form to don't seem particularly eager.
Most of the people that I give the form to don't return it. But it's a concept and it's being introduced, and the more that it's talked about and discussed, the better we'll be at getting those forms back and in the charts.
State and national organ donor experts say clearly doctors are better suited than DMV clerks at discussing end-of-life care. But they say moving registration away from DMV, a highly centralized agency with one computer system, to a fragmented healthcare system would be disastrous. Instead, they say the push for organ donors should come on all fronts. University of Pennsylvania bioethicist Kaplan says doctors can play a key role, but so too should those who counsel people about dying.
If you're a priest or rabbi or imam or whoever says, this Sunday I want to talk about organ donation, that's going to have a lot of weight for many people in a way that if the doctor says, let's spend a second talking about organ donation, might not.
Whether or not to benefit others when you die, says Kaplan, is for many people more a religious and ethical issue than a medical one. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
To learn more about organ donation and transplantation in California, visit californiareport.org for a link to Health Dialogues, where you'll find more about this month's program. That's the California Report for Thursday, March 18th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Cy Musiker. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. Chevron, an energy company encouraging innovation right here in California. This is the power of human energy. Information available at chevroncalifornia.com. And the California Endowment, working to build healthier communities that support children, youth, and families. Online at www.calendow.org.